Chairs No Waiting, episode number 623. Hello, doll. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and pick up some of the cool stuff they got over there. If you hadn't seen it, you can check out Mayberry First. That's a book by Randy Turner. It's definitely something you'd want to check out. He does our This Week in Mayberry History. Great book. Go and check it out. It's something I hadn't mentioned in a long time. If you need a goober beanie, head over to Weavers Department Store and you can get you one. WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 623 is Butch Ruffner. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is great to be here with you in Mayberry. Every week we get to visit just a little while and talk about just the fun things that are going on around the Andy Griffith Show, if there's any new news or anything like that. Or we just get to revisit and go back and talk about some of our favorites from the show. And it's always kind of amazing to me when I realize I haven't talked about somebody for a long time. And this week is Hello, Doll. is the one I'm wanting to do for you, because I just, you know, it's just too good. You know, you guys know where that comes from, right?
Hello, Doll.
Jean Carson is who we're going to be talking about. Her birthday would have been a few weeks ago now. It would have been February 28th, and she was born back in 1923. So we're getting close. Another couple of years of the podcast, and we'll have a big celebration for her on April 28th. But until then, we're going to go back and just talk about her just a little bit and visit. And we're going to try to do a little bit of trivia. Hopefully, we'll still have time for that. And hear from Randy Turner. So let's go ahead and get this thing started. And we'll have fun visiting about Jean. So I'm going to get us just a little bit of background music, just so you don't have to just listen to me talk. It's Mockingbird by my friend Tim White and the VW Boys from their CD. So I'm going to turn that down just a little. So we're going to be hearing from, this is from an article on MeTV is where this came from. And it's called 10 Things You Never Knew About the Fun Girls of the Andy Griffith Show. And mostly they're about Jean, but they're also about Joyce Jameson, who is also one of the fun girls. So we're going to go through that, and maybe I can hit up another article as well. And it'll definitely be in our show notes. It's called Andy's Fun Girl is Back in Town. It's from 1998. So hopefully we can do a little of both. But let's see. So 10 things that you didn't know about the fun girls from the Andy Griffith Show. Some of the most memorable Mayberry characters hardly ever appeared on the Andy Griffith Show. I don't know if you knew this. Ernest T. Bass, we've talked about this. Howard Morris. He's only on 5 episodes. The same goes for Leon, you know, Clint Howard. You know who Leon is. No thanks, Leon. Trying to give us his sandwich. He's only on there 6 times. He's only on there, well, maybe not even 6. Yeah, Briscoe Darlin managed to be on there several times, but he's only on 6 episodes. Do you realize that? I mean, it's just amazing. So tonight we're talking about the fun girls, right? So the fun girls, that's Jean and Joyce. They were only on 3 episodes of the Andy Griffith Show, the fun girls. And yet we think about them as having been on there many times. And I just think it's amazing. So the impact was great. And was there a more correctly named duo on the Andy Griffith Show than the fun girls? This is Skippy and Daphne, of course, and they were bouncing around from Mount Pilot and blonde-headed, and they were ready to party and go do all this stuff. In the episode Barney Mends a Broken Heart, the fun girls made their very first appearance, and it's just amazing. So here are Jean's first words on the Andy Griffith Show.
Well, what'd you have in mind for a night, Bernie?
Bernie.
I mean, what do you feel like doing? You feel like stepping out? There's a place over in Harnett that's got dancing and everything. Listen, there's a pizza place over by the county line. They even serve beer.
I don't think so.
Let's go to the Gigolo Club over in Yancey. They got a floor show there.
I don't know if you can remember, but when she started talking, there was a guy sitting in the booth behind Andy and Barney, and the guy just like turns and kind of looks over his shoulder because her voice was so low. Oh man, that was absolutely amazing. Great stuff there. So, of course, the words that we always remember from Gene were these.
Hello, doll.
Hello, doll. Now, again, they were only on 3 episodes. And that was in Barney Mins A Broken Heart, was the first appearance of the Fun Girls. And Daphne, you know, she suggested they go to the Gigolo Club. And Yancey, oh, my gosh. Can't you just picture Aunt Bee just clutching at her pearls if she heard something like that? As Daphne, Gene Carson coined one of the most, I don't know, one of the sitcoms, one of the Andy Griffith Show's most favorite catchphrase, because I've already played it twice.
Hello, doll.
Is that. Oh, wow. And, of course, Joyce Jamison, she had that wonderful smile as well. Despite their few appearances on the show, the producers must have really liked the actresses, because they returned in different characters on different shows even, but all related to the Andy Griffith Show. Did you notice that? You probably did. Jean especially, she was on at least as a different character on the Andy Griffith Show. So here's some other things you may or may not know. Did you know that Jean Carson came back and played a different character only a month after she played the first character on there? The Fun Girls appeared in season 3's Barney Mins A Broken Heart. And it aired on November of 1962. A month later, 5 episodes later, she turned up again in Mayberry as an entirely different character on the Andy Griffith Show. and that said this.
You listen to Big Maud. Come on.
Listen to Big Maud. Yeah, so you know that's you know that was the convicts on Convicts at Large.
You listen to Big Maud. Come on.
So there she is. She was Jaylene Naomi Connors, the convicted husband beater in the episode Convicts at Large.
O'Malley! Charlie!
Shouldn't call a rich man by his first name.
The bigger they are, the nicer they are.
Hey, Chuck! It's me, Barney Five.
You're not looking for us. Well, we do. Just leave it to me. I'll handle it. Get over there against the wall out of sight.
I hope she knows what she's doing.
Don't worry. Maud's a very clever woman. She'll think of something brilliant. Just watch.
There's nobody here!
Oh, so that was Naomi. She'll think of something. She's very smart. There's nobody here. So she was the convicted husband beater who tried to get Floyd, who we also heard in that little clip, to fight with her. And that's only 5 episodes after she played the Fun Girl. And honestly, I have to admit that I had watched those shows a lot of times before I realized that was the same lady, because she acted and looked so different in this episode. So anyway, fun things there. So they both played additional characters on shows like Gomer Pyle as well. That continuity thing, they didn't worry about that. The spinoff Gomer Pyle USMC, it regularly featured crossover characters from the Andy Griffith Show that were the character actors, I should say. Jameson and Carson both portrayed women in that universe. Joyce Jamison was Sergeant Carter's casino companion in an episode called Vacation in Las Vegas. And she makes a rare brunette appearance in an episode called The Return of Monroe. Her name is Natalie. And Jean Carson interacted with Sergeant Carter as the diner waitress named Shirley in an episode called Love Letters to Sarge. So that's when they were pretending they were having love letters going to him, and he thought he had a girl liking him, and it was really Gomer getting this girl to do it for him. Anyway, that's not the Andy Griffith Show, but it was on Gomer Pyle. So it's cousins, at least. So did you know, which I did not, that Gene Carson auditioned for the voice of Betty Rubble? Her raspy voice was her, career trademark. And no wonder she was considered for more than one of the most iconic gigs in history. Carson read for the role of Betty Flintstone, Betty Rubble on the Flintstones, and she lost out to Bernadette. I'm not sure I'm saying her name right, but she was Jed Clampett's sister, Pearl, on the Andy Griffith Show. But that's who ended up being Betty. Anyway, I didn't know that. And I also didn't know that Joyce Jamison, her partner in crime, she did voices and stuff on the Flintstones as well. She did a lot of credits for the Hanna-Barbera studio. So when you were listening to the cartoons, try to listen for them. I've heard Ernest T. Howard Morris is on there. I've definitely picked him out, and I've picked out Howard McNear, Floyd. He's on as well. So listen for Joyce Jamison and see if we can pick her out on some episodes, because she was on several. She also did some Scooby-Doo characters on the new Scooby-Doo and some of those shows as well. And Joyce Jamison, I mean, we've drifted from Gene a little bit, but Joyce, she was nothing like the character she played on the Andy Griffith Show or in many of the movies and things that she was in. Throughout her career, she was typecast as a ditzy blonde, when in truth, she was a UCLA graduate that was very smart and well-read. And in effect, there were two Joyce Jamisons, the real one and the character who her agent called the dummy. That's what Joyce Jamison one time said in a 1958 interview in the Pittsburgh Press. She explained that everyone expects me to be cast as dumb or a victimized blonde. After they interview me, I can just hear them say, "Hey, she's intelligent, but what can we do with that?" It's like, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Anyway, that's how she felt. And so I thought that was interesting. Here's something I didn't know. Gene Carson and Jack Dodson studied at the same university. That's right. Gene Carson was far more intelligent than her own screen character appeared as well. Like Don Knotts, she was born and raised in West Virginia and later studied drama at Carnegie Tech, which is now Carnegie Mellon, in Pittsburgh, the same alma mater as Jack Dodson, of course, Howard Sprague. Carnegie Drama Department also fed talents like Ted Danson, Stephen Bocco, a bunch of other people, Frank Gorshin, Jack Klugman, a bunch more that went on to be on television. All right, so did you know this? And you might have if you like classic TV like me, but Rod Sterling, from the Twilight Zone, he wrote an episode for Gene Carson. According to the definitive Andy Griffith Show reference by Dale Robinson and David Fernandez, which you can get at Weavers, the classic episode of the Twilight Zone was written specifically for Gene Carson by Rod Serling. The name of the episode is called The Most Unusual Camera, and it casts Carson as a bad girl, one of a pair of thieves. There was three of them, actually. There's two men and her that were thieves, and they ended up getting this camera that took pictures of the future. So with that, they were able to win at the horse track and everything like that. Anyway, there's a twist, of course, at the end because it's the Twilight Zone. But maybe you didn't know that. And just one last thing I want to throw in here, or maybe a couple here. Joyce Jamison, she used to work in different contexts than just comedy and stuff. She was in Tales of Terror, a 1962 Edgar Allan Poe adaptation from the mind of Roger Corman. And she worked with Vincent Price and Peter Lorre. And later in the year, she did Comedy of Terrors as well. Gene Carson's son, Tracy, which I have met and did not know this, in her autobiography, More Than Just a Fun Girl from Mount Pilot, the Gene Carson story, the actress mentions that one of her sons, Tracy, has worked as Henry Winkler's double, or stand-in on Happy Days. I didn't know that. I had hit Tracy up about that. I did not know that. So that was cool information. And so that's most of the information that's available in that article. It also goes on to talk about Joyce Jamison, who was actually married to Billy Barnes. You may not know who that is, but he was a composer and actor, best known for a Billy Barnes review that showcased song and dance and stuff like that. Anyway, she was actually married to him. I didn't know that. So, all right. So let's move on. Let's see here. How are we doing for time? So I got more stories about Gene, and maybe we'll hold off and wait and pull those back later. I'm going to leave in the show notes. There's an episode. There's a article from 1998 that is about Gene. It's on imayberry.com. You'll find it there. There's a link. Will be in our show note, and it's called "Andy's Fun Girl is Back in Town." City's native, hello doll. Part of the show's legend. And it is an interview that they did with Gene in the, let's see, what is the name of this? The Gazette Mail was the name of the paper. And I believe it's there in West Virginia, because she was back for a high school reunion right before the big Mayberry reunion that was held in Kingsport, Tennessee in 1998, that summer. So there'll be a link in there if you'd like to go and read it, and maybe I can pull this up later and we'll talk about her. But I got to tell you that Jean Carson was one of the sweetest ladies. I think I've told this on the podcast before. I haven't gotten too many phone calls from actors from the Andy Griffith Show, but she is definitely one that I did get, and it was impossible not to know who it was as soon as I answered the phone, because it was the very first thing she said was,
"Hello, doll."
And I went, "Hey, Gene, how are you doing?" Oh, it was just, it was great. So let's hear another little sound clip from her.
"All right, ma'am, let's see your driver's license."
"Hello, doll."
"Hiya, Bernie." "We haven't seen you since the dance last year."
"When you didn't even take us home."
Oh, man, can you believe they were only on three episodes, and yet we watch them in reruns, so that's probably why. All right, so let's do a little bit of trivia, and then we'll hear from Randy. So these are five more maybe trivia questions that we might know. I'm not sure. So let's get a little trivia music playing for us in the background here, and go for it. There we go. So everybody's ready. There's five questions, so get ready. Who said... These are pretty easy. Says they're tough. Who said, "Sick as a dog, but having the time of my life"? Let's see. Who said, "Sick as a dog, but having the time of my life"? Trying to make you feel good tonight, giving you some easy trivia. All right. So if you don't want to know the answer, you can pause the podcast and think about it and then give it to me. So keep up with your own answer. The answer is, who said, "Sick as a dog, but having the time of my life"? That would have been Gomer Pyle. That was while they were riding in Barney's car. You remember that? "Sick as a dog, but having the time of my life." All right, number two. There's only five. What was Goober's record for dismantling a carburetor? This one's not quite as easy. What was Goober's record for dismantling a carburetor? Come on. What was Goober's record? All right, pause if you don't want to know. The answer is 39 minutes and 12 seconds. I got some feedback from last week, too, where people are saying that may have been wrong answers on some of these. Like Goober's first date. All right, because they said it should have been probably Helen and Thelma Lou, because they went. All right, so number three. Who bet Gomer that he would not catch a trout in the pond near Lover's Leap Rock? Who bet Gomer that he would not catch a trout in the pond near Lover's Leap Rock? That I do not know. Jim Sherrill is in our chat room, the trivia champion from Mayberry Days. I bet he'll know this. Do you know it? I don't know this one. Who bet Gomer that he would not catch a trout in the pond near Lover's Leap Rock? All right. Wow, people did get it in the chat room. I did not. The answer is Bertie Bush. Bertie Bush. Good job, people in the chat room. Nice job. I'm sure Jim knew it, but he was letting everybody. He's nice letting other people answer before he tells. I'm talking about the chat room, by the way. If you'd like to be a part of the chat room, you can join us live on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time when we actually record the podcast. And you can be in here and interact with the other folks. There's 53 folks in there visiting, and you can enjoy yourselves. Number four, how many episodes did the Pyle cousins, Gomer and Goober, appear in together? Okay, this one should be easy. How many episodes of the Andy Griffith Show did the Pyle cousins, Gomer and Goober, appear in together? Okay, this one's pretty easy. At least I think it is. Not counting the Return to Mayberry, it was one. It was only one episode. One episode is it. The Fun Girls, as a matter of fact. The Fun Girls. The second episode the Fun Girls were in. Wow, what do you know? And what a tie-in. You know, I did that on purpose. All right, number five. Here's our last question. These are all just for fun, so I hope you're having fun with it. What did Barney and Mrs. Mendelbrot enjoy doing on the front porch? What did Barney and Mrs. Mendelbrot enjoy doing on the front porch? All right. What did Barney and Mrs. Mendelbrot... I love you too, Mrs. Brindlemite. What did they enjoy doing on the front porch? The answer is... Oh, they got it. The answer we got is counting cars. Counting cars. So folks in the chat room are getting it too. Good job. That's all five. How'd you do? Hope you got at least three or four of them. Hopefully they're not too hard. We're trying to make them fun. All right. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was fun. And now we get to hear more fun from Randy Turner. This Week in Mayberry History. Can't say it like this guy.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Goober Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
As we continue a deep dive into a look at Sheldon Leonard's career and how it led to his involvement in the creation of The Andy Griffith Show, we'll pick back up this week by looking at Sheldon's career in radio further. Sheldon played comedic versions of his gangster tough guy character on other shows in addition to the Jack Benny program. He was part of the ensemble in the Martin and Lewis Show between 1949 and 1953, starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. It is also important to note for Mayberry fans that Sheldon was a cast member of the radio comedy Meet Me at Parkey's, whose cast also included Opie Cates, the actor whose name was later used for Andy Taylor's son in Mayberry. Of course, not all of Sheldon's radio work involved comic roles. He often appeared in the ensemble of The Saint, the radio series based on the modern-day Robin Hood, featured in the novels of Leslie Charteris. The lead character, Simon Templar, was voiced by Vincent Price, while Sheldon played both heavies and more respectable characters. Already established as a go-to actor for quietly menacing gangsters, it was perhaps inevitable that Sheldon would also become part of the ensemble for the radio program Damon Runyon Theater. Runyon's tales were typically set around Broadway during Prohibition. Runyon is best known for his stories of gangsters who eschewed square names, had strong Brooklyn accents, and spoke using many slang terms. Character types that fit this mold are often said to be Runyonesque, an adjective often used to describe Sheldon's performances. Sheldon's involvement in the radio series would not be his last with the world of Damon Runyon. At this point, Sheldon had a lengthy acting career and had done some directing on the stage. Soon after he began performing in radio, he also began writing scripts. He first submitted screenplays for films and sold two, much to his surprise. Knowing that the radio half-hour anthology shows were in desperate need for scripts, he began writing for radio and discovered scripts were purchased as quickly as he could write them. With the increasing popularity of television beginning in the 1950s, Sheldon recognized it was likely this new entertainment form that would replace radio. He decided to concentrate on television, the medium in which he made his biggest impact, though he certainly still continued to sometimes work in radio and film. He made his television debut in 1951 as Silky Thompson in the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show, which also became his first recurring role when he reprised the character the following year. In the early 50s, he also appeared in series such as I Love Lucy, I Married Joan, and the anthology show General Electric Theater. He appeared in the TV version of the Jack Benny program, first as Tombstone Harry, and then later reprising his famous radio role as the Tout in several episodes. While Sheldon had begun concentrating on television, he still continued to work in film. He added another medium to his resume with his first work voicing an animated character. Released in 1952 and 1953, Sheldon voiced the lazy cat Dodsworth in two Merry Melodies cartoons for Warner Brothers. Sheldon first revisited the world of Damon Runyon when he played Lefty in the 1952 film comedy Stop, You're Killing Me, which was based on a Runyon play. In 1953, Sheldon was Jumbo Schneider in Lewis and Martin's first color film, Money from Home, co-written by Runyon. 2 years later, Sheldon played his best-known Runyon role as Harry the Horse in the musical Guys and Dolls. That same year, he played Silky Mitts in the second season opener of the television series, Damon Runyon Theater. An early indication of his business acumen that would be on wide display in later years, Sheldon had the foresight to put in his radio writing contracts that he retained the ownership of his radio scripts after they were produced. This allowed him not only to have a volume of work already completed that he could either resell or use as a basis for a new production, but was also invaluable when he later began writing for television. Some of his new television scripts, especially those for anthology shows with standalone stories, were adapted from the radio scripts he had previously written. Seeking more personal career control, Sheldon also began directing and producing in the early days of television, which brings us closer to his role in the creation of The Andy Griffith Show, which we will discuss in this series' conclusion next week. That's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. Man, he always comes up with great stuff. If you want to make sure you don't miss any of his great Mayberry content, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he will definitely get back with you to make sure you don't miss anything. Thanks, Randy. So he mentioned that Sheldon Leonard was Dodsworth, and I didn't remember who that was, the character, but I found the character. I went out online and searched for who the Dodsworth, the cat. He did the voice of Dodsworth. Now, I have pictures on the video version I'm showing so that you'll see who he was, but he's basically a kind of a bigger and fatter version of Sylvester is what he looks like. He's black and white, just like Sylvester the cat. And Sheldon Leonard did the voice for this cat. And I've seen that cartoon many times in my life, and I did not know that that was Sheldon Leonard. So, man, Randy, great job with just new and great information for us all. Folks, I hope that you enjoyed being here in Mayberry, just spending a little bit of time visiting and talking and just having fun, thinking back about Gene Carson and just some of the the fun that she provided us over the years, as well as Sheldon Leonard and so many others. The fun girls were great. And just everybody on the Andy Griffith Show just added so much to the town of Mayberry and made it seem so real to us all, at least to me, and hopefully to you as well. And I would love to hear from you about your thoughts about maybe these characters or some other characters that were only on the show from time to time, but yet we still remember them so clearly. It's pretty amazing. I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415, or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I'd love to hear from you. Head over to twochairsnowaiting.com for that information if you've forgotten. And all that information is there. If you're watching on the video, please feel free to like the show. That would be great. And I want to thank all the patrons at Patreon that help support the show as well. Thank you for being there with us tonight, with me. And we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.